Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. Underage drinking can be a serious problem. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, drinking causes over 4,300 deaths in the U.S. each year. What are the best ways to talk to young people about the dangers of drinking? Does sharing statistics or showing scary car accidents actually work? What can parents and guardians say to young people about drinking? That's our conversation today. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Yupik people have chosen a new name for the Western Alaska Census District, named for a Confederate slave owner and a Civil War general. KYUK's Ben Matheson has more.
Governor Bill Walker wrote last week to the Census Bureau to begin the process of changing the name from the Wade Hampton Census District to the Kushlevac Census District. Katie Marquette is the governor's press secretary.
That original name had no connection or to the culture or to the history of Alaska and its people. So with the support from all of those folks that I mentioned, Governor Walker felt that it was only appropriate that Alaska's place names reflect and respect the diversity of our great state.
The city and tribe of the largest community in the area, Hooper Bay, passed a resolution in support of a change and came up with the new local name. Local and state politicians voiced their support for shedding the name of a Confederate general whose rise to political power was in tandem with a terror campaign by a violent white power group, the Red Shirts. Edgar Holscher is the tribal chief for the native village of Hooper Bay.
Everybody knows in the early times that man was a slaver and never had stepped into Alaska, and why should our area be named after someone who we don't even know about?
Wade Hampton's son-in-law was a territorial judge and named a nearby mining district after the South Carolina politician. That showed up in census data in 1920 and stuck. Myron Nanny leads the Association of Village Council Presidents and Sea Lion Corporation of Hooper Bay. He's been organizing behind the scenes to get the new name.
Kusilvak means the high one. And it's the mountain that's located between Scammon Bay and Mountain Village. And that's the highest mountain in the region, in the area. And there's a lot of history associated with it.
The peaks, which rise as high as 2,200 feet, are visible from several villages and are used as a landmark for traveling and navigating. The Census Bureau is expected to use the new name in their next release of data. The governor writes that he'll use the new name from now on. For National Native News, I'm Ben Matheson in Bethel, Alaska.
The U.S. Census Bureau is taking steps to get a more accurate count of Native Americans in the 2020 census. Reporter Melissa Townsend has the details.
The U.S. Census Bureau will be asking tribal leaders how to reach more Native Americans and increase their participation in the census. John Thompson is director of the U.S. Census Bureau. He says his agency is planning 8 meetings with tribal leaders.
We've just started that process, and we're going to do it this year and through much of 2016. And in 2017, we plan to include some American Indian reservations as part of our testing to the lead up for 2020.
Director Thompson made the announcement at the mid-year conference of the National Congress of American Indians in St. Paul, Minnesota. After his statement, a member of the audience asked if there might be a separate census for tribes.
Has there ever been any thought to having a separate census for the Native tribes, since we're the ones who are able to define who we are?
Thompson responded by saying the U.S. Census Bureau recognizes the sovereignty of the tribes and does its best to work with leaders to get an accurate count. The Census Bureau plans to begin tribal consultations in October. For National Native News, I'm Melissa Townsend.
A New Mexico tribe has officially taken over a Bureau of Indian Education school. Isleta Elementary School will now be operated by Isleta Pueblo. According to a press release, tribal members have attended the school under BIE control since the late 1890s. Tribal leaders say first priorities include developing curriculum with an emphasis on teaching the tribe's native language. The tribe started the process of requesting the takeover last year and is now the fourth Pueblo in New Mexico to take over a BIE school. A ceremony with federal and other officials is planned next month. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. With funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Today we're talking about the complexities and dangers of underage drinking. When young people drink alcohol, a lot of problems can start to unleash. It can also do damage to a developing brain. And often, lives are lost in fatal car accidents. So what are the best ways to get the message across, the message that drinking is a bad idea, to our youth? And does sharing statistics about death rates actually work? What about showing scary car accident pictures? Does that make them snap? Here is an 80s public service announcement from the Ad Council about the dangers of drunk driving.
You okay to drive?
Yeah, fine.
You sure?
Relax. What's a few beers?
If you don't stop your friend from drinking and driving, you're as good as dead. Drinking and driving can kill a friendship.
How do you think that message reached young people? How do you think it would reach young people today? We want to hear from you today. Our phone lines are open. You can share your thoughts. Now, problems associated with underage drinking can truly be scary stuff, especially when it means a young life or young lives are lost. But is using fear, like we just heard, the best way to get the message across? Maybe you remember hearing or seeing ads like the one we just shared when you were younger. Did they keep you from drinking at a young age? Also, what did your parents or maybe family members tell you about drinking? Did they say it was wrong for a young person to drink? Our phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And you're invited to our conversation today. And we want to know, you know, what you heard growing up, but we also want to hear if you're a parent or you have young people in your life, you know, what are you doing today to make sure the message gets across? Again, phone lines are open, 1-800-99-NATIVE. And now joining us from Nome, Alaska, is Pananga Pangawi, and she is the wellness director for the Kerowick Incorporated, and she is St. Lawrence Island Yupik from the village of Savunga. Welcome to the hour, Pananga.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you for being with us. And, there are many different ways to approach young people about the dangers of underage drinking, like, you know, the public service announcement we just heard. But what do you think is the best approach?
Well, I think actually the best approach, the question is kind of a leading question. I think the best approach really is not talking about the dangers of underage drinking. And that's what I've learned just with experience and different trainings that I've been to over the years working in wellness.
And, you know, what are some of the reactions you get from young people? You know, what do you think works based on their reactions?
Well, let's talk about negative messaging, like you were talking about, fear-based messaging, shame-based messaging. It has actually shown that fear and shame-based messaging may be effective for a short period of time, but when people measure the effectiveness over a long period of time, it's just not effective at all. What they've found is promoting positive messages, promoting let's see, like, say if you are watching TV and you see an advertisement for a product, they're not going to tell you what the negative effects of not buying that product is. They're going to tell you what the positive effects of buying that product is. And so if we follow that same philosophy with prevention, I think we would see a much more effective way of reducing underage drinking.
And Ananga, when you, you know, make those kind of associations, you know, how do you feel that sometimes young lives are lost because of this media's influence?
Oh, sorry. You're totally, that's my Alaska connection. You're fuzzing out a little bit. Can you repeat that?
Oh, no worry. We'll work with your line. It is worth talking with you today. You know, we're connecting to a community that we care deeply about here. And Ananga, when you know that a young person has passed away because they've been in an accident, and you know sometimes it's because of media's influence, you know, how does that make you feel?
Mm-hmm. Personally, I get kind of upset just at the entire industry that folks who work in media are not very well informed about what is effective versus what can be detrimental to the community. And so some fear-based and shame-based messages actually increase negative behaviors, and that's certainly what we don't want. And so, you know, a lot of frustration, I guess, just at the fact that folks who have a lot of power in the media industry are not educated and not informed about how much power they actually have and how much influence they actually have, and what's effective versus not effective. One thing that we are doing in Alaska, it's called, we're using a process called the Positive Community Norms Framework. And we have an excellent team of people who are, you know, we're the Alaska Wellness Coalition. It's made up of several coalitions around the state of Alaska, and we have worked together to promote actually normative messages, which is another thing I haven't talked about yet. And so one thing that fear and shame-based messaging does is it kind of subconsciously tells people that there's a problem. And so when you subconsciously tell people that there's a problem, people start assuming things like the fact that underage drinking is actually quite common when it isn't. And so what we found is that the majority of youth don't actually drink alcohol. But when youth think that most of the kids around them are drinking, they're more likely to engage in underage drinking. So that's one way that media can negatively affect people, by making them think that something's more of a problem than it actually is. And so what we're doing to counter that is we've taken data from different surveys that were done around the state of Alaska and found the actual rate of underage drinking, and we're promoting that message that most kids don't drink because they don't in Alaska.
Wow, that's interesting. And, you know, do other people feel the same way? Do you think that this normalized notion that young people drink is overblown? Call us right now. We want to hear from you. Phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And if you also want to share how you feel the media plays a role in all of this, you can by calling in. Let's go ahead and take our first call. We have Gemma, who is in Taos, New Mexico, connecting to us on KUNM. Gemma, welcome to the hour.
Hi, thank you so much. I just lately have noticed that when I ask people questions, instead of trying to tell them what's right or wrong, then answer it, sometimes gets across. So my question would be, if there was an ad, would be how many more family members, how many more friends, how many more relations is it going to take? That means how many more people are going to die until people realize they to stop drinking and driving, or better yet, just stop drinking.
All right. All right, Gemma, thank you for your call. And again, if you have questions too, call in 1-800-996-2848. Bananga, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure because it was fuzzing out a little bit if she was saying that that would be a question to pose like during a PSA. So that would be a message to promote is asking people how many lives should be lost before we change our behavior, or if that was just a question that she was asking.
I think, you know, she's asking a couple things and also bringing up something I think that plays into what you're also saying of, you know, pushing the fear away, but understanding the reality of some of these messages in talking about how many more community members do we have to lose? And I think that takes us into a whole other mental space when we start thinking about some of these actions and how it affects our community, how it affects our loved ones. And, you know, I think that definitely kicks us out of the, you know, the fear tactic. So it's pretty interesting. Bananga, anything you'd like to share?
Yeah. So it's a tricky balance between fear and hope. So if there's going to be any fear or hard realities promoted in messages, you have to balance that with hope. If you are going to say something about a really hard reality, I think if you're not promoting hope or the light at the end of the tunnel, then the feeling that you get is not going to be, you know, you're not going to be really inspired. We want to inspire people to do the right thing. We don't want to shame people or make people feel guilty for doing the wrong thing. Does that make sense? It's kind of a paradigm shift.
Sure, sure. And I know that there are a lot of approaches. That's why we're having this program today. We want to hear, you know, what people think are the best approaches. Maybe you've tried something and learned from experience and kind of retired a certain approach. Share your thoughts with us today. Phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. And we are talking about underage drinking. And if you take it back to when your parents were telling you about this, you know, what kind of words did they use? Where did they talk to you at? Did they call in your relatives? And do you think that approach is relevant today? Or maybe you're a new parent and you are trying something new. Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848, and tell us about it. And maybe something else happened. Maybe they just avoided it. And do you think their avoidance played into maybe some of the hurdles that you faced as a young person, you know, with alcohol? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And folks, what do you think when parents take the approach of saying, you know, maybe it's okay to drink every now and then, just not that much? What do you think about that? 1-800-996-2848. And I'd like to bring in another voice. Joining us from Portland, Oregon is Kanoy Eggleston, and she is the Direct Services Manager for Youth Services at the Native American Youth and Family Center, and she is Native Hawaiian. Welcome to Native America Calling, Kanoy.
Thank you very much.
And Kanoy, let's start with you. If you can share a personal side, what did your parents say to you about drinking when you were younger?
Yeah. So, you know, I was born in the 80s, and I didn't actually I didn't have that scared straight approach as much. You know, really what it was is kind of what we're terming today as a harm reduction approach, and I can explain a little bit about that in a little bit. But, you know, in my history, it's, you know, being at home, a lot of it was, you know, although we were drinking, it was an auntie saying, you know, if you're going to do it, let's do it in a safe way. So here, you know, you're going to stay at home. Here's that garage. You know, you go there and we're going to watch you. So you don't get in that car and you don't drive off. I had a long history of alcoholism with my grandparents, and my grandfather had passed away because of it. So, you know, you would think that my family, my parents would come at it from a lot of a scared, you know, straight approach, kind of saying, look at your grandfather, look at all these statistics. It's going to be you. Children don't always hear that, right? Young people don't don't always listen to their parents when it's going to be that scared straight, you know, shame-based, fear-based kind of approach. And so really it's meeting them where they're at and just and listening and asking questions and being curious, because coming from a judgmental, very power over approach, you know, wouldn't have worked with me. And it didn't, you know, when my grandparents tried it, it didn't work. And I think my parents saw that and needed to kind of change the approach and how they were going to talk with me. And I was very fortunate to have that. I think for me, it worked, you know, it provided me a place to be able to have a conversation. And I think that's what we need to have with our young people today, is to give them a platform and a space to be able to talk to our elders and our family and our community. You know, can we talk to an adult about it? And are they going to give us an honest or answer? Will they listen without being judgmental? And so I think those kind of concepts are things that we're using here with our young people at the community center that I work at.
All right. Thanks, Kanoy. And if you're also working with youth and you have an approach to share, do call in. 1-800-996-2848 is our number. And Kanoy, what about just, people, putting themselves in check or even just having the courage to say their own stories? You know, if somebody is feeling guilty, because of their past and they feel, well, I'm not the person to say anything. What about when that's the situation?
When they're going to be speaking with young people themselves, mm-hmm. adults feeling that way? I mean, we all learn from our experiences, and I think knowledge is power and honesty is important. We want to be able to talk with young people, right? That's kind of one of the messages I want to bring up is we want to be able to have this platform where, you know, it's not shame-based and it's not shameful. And if we don't talk to our young people, they're going to be doing things that we don't know. You know, we need to have that trust and that relationship built with them. And so if it's something and being honest within ourselves and sharing with them, maybe this is what we did and this is what I've learned from it, you know, and I want to share that with you. What do you think about this? You know, what are your thoughts around it? And really being able to have an open space for that discussion. And so by playing messages that you had aired earlier, you know, those back in the 80s, it's like that's a very intimidating kind of, it doesn't bring up that space for conversation, right? I mean, youth will see that and go, oh, okay, well, then I'm not even going to go there. I'm scared straight. They're just going to kind of ignore it. I'm just going to be honest, you know, nowadays. And so having that space and a platform for us to be able to have a conversation is, to me, one of the more important things. And so here at the center, we utilize a harm reduction approach a lot. And what that means is that we're meeting all of our young people where they're at. And so it's a spectrum of these strategies that we talk with them about safe use, you know, managed use, and abstinence. But it's really about where they are in that process and just being really non-judgmental, non-coercive, you know, using just really being able to establish with them a level of rapport and comfort to be able to have that discussion, ask questions, and need to listen, for sure.
All right. Thanks, Kanoy. And, you know, do you also feel that, you know, we need to take more of the fear and shame out of, conversations that we have yet with young people or either an approach that we take when it comes to young people drinking? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Kanoy, you know, we talked a little bit about the media's influence, and you being an 80s baby, you would have probably stopped in your tracks hearing Michael Jackson on a commercial. Anything you want to say about how maybe media manipulates and, pulls at our young heartstrings to get us to do what they want or buy?
Yes, I mean, media, especially now, right, with social media, is a very powerful tool, but it can be a powerful tool in a good way as well. I mean, nowadays, you know, even peer influence is large when it comes to social media and media, and so using things, I think, like positive peer influence can be, I think, a very very effective approach. One thing we're doing here as well is having a peer mentor, you know, and engaging with youth on social media as well, that we have chatting with them about what that looks like and having that conversation around healthy lifestyle, right, and just that engagement. So having a media presence, I mean, especially in the generation that we're in and all, it's huge, and I think we need to definitely change that format to being to actually using it in a positive and proactive and healthy way, and taking that fear out, and using different using things that youth are using now, right, in social media, peer influence, those kinds of things, and using it in community centers, in different areas in a positive and proactive and healthy way is what we need to do.
And we know they are definitely on social media, all kinds of stuff. So are we, too. And if you'd like to reach out to us and share your thoughts, you can send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. You can also find us on Facebook. Just type in Native America Calling, which, by the way, is the name of the program and what you are listening to right now. And if this is your first time hearing our program, you're also welcome to join us. You know, what do you think are the best approaches to work with our youth to make sure they have an understanding about the reality of drinking at their age? Again, call us. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. And I want to go back to Bananga. Bananga, has reaching out to youth through social media, do you think that is a good approach, or have folks in your area been using this medium to reach our youth?
Absolutely. A lot of youth actually in our area use Facebook, and because we have such a large region, Nome is a hub community for several other villages, and so this is an excellent way to introduce the conversation, to get the conversation started about, you know, healthy choices and what that really means and what youth want to aspire to be. And so another media campaign that we have in our area is called My Choice, My Future. And what we do is we have youth send pictures of themselves who, you know, when they're making positive choices, when they are playing with their nieces and nephews, when they are out fishing, whatever it is they feel is a healthy choice, they take selfies and then they post them on this Facebook page. And it's actually been, we get a lot of there's a lot of traffic on that site. And so one of our local Native organizations put that together.
All right. And go ahead and give out, you know, the place to find it again.
If you Google My Choice, My Future Nome Eskimo Community, you should be able to find it. I don't have the exact address for that. And then if you want to go to the Positive Community Norms Framework media campaign that's statewide, the one that I was talking about earlier, the one that promotes normative messages saying that most youth don't drink in Alaska, that's bualaska.org.
All right. Thanks for that. And, you know, I'm also wondering, you know, what are some of the reasons that young people do turn to alcohol? And how does knowing the answer to that question help with keeping our youth young and strong and healthy? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And if this is something you work on in your community, you know, please call in. We want to hear from you. We know there are different nations out there who connect to us, and we want to hear from you. We'll be back. I'm Tara Gatewood, host of Native America Calling. The world of Native art has many players and great stories. On our next hour, we'll turn to the pages of several art books to catch a glimpse at a few great Native artists who have really made an impact on both tribal nations and the world at large. We hope you can join us for this pre-recorded program.
Bayou Tara I'm Nathan. My job gave me a lot. It gave me an income to support my family. It gave me purpose and pride. But the secondhand smoke there triggered my severe asthma attacks, infections, and lung damage. And I never smoked. It was so bad that my doctor told me I shouldn't work there anymore. I had to quit my job. But the damage was done. Now I'm so sick, I can't do much of anything I used to love to do. I don't referee youth basketball anymore. I don't run or lift weights. It's too much for my body to take. Instead, I'm taking breathing treatments or oxygen. I guess you could say my job gave me a lot. So let me give you a tip. Don't let people tell you that working around secondhand smoke is safe.
Smoking affects more than just your health. If you or someone you know wants free help to quit smoking, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Mesleta Pueblo, and thank you for joining us today. We're glad you've chosen to spend a little bit of your busy day with us. And have you liked us on Facebook yet? If not, please visit our page at facebook.com/Native America Calling and hit like, and then go tell a friend. We do also share information on upcoming shows, including photos on our Facebook, also on Twitter, too. And also, if you'd like to get our weekly newsletter, please visit us online, NativeAmericaCalling.com, and click on Sign Up Now. And every, I guess it's Friday, you'll get an update on, you know, what we are cooking. And today we are talking about underage drinking. And according to the National Institutes of Health, young people who drink before the age of 15 are 4 times more likely to have problems with alcohol later in life. What do you think about that statistic? And we also want to know, you know, what can parents, family, and maybe even community members do to prevent underage drinking? And is it easy for young people to get alcohol in your area? Do you think that's the reason young people drink? Call us right now. 1-800-996-28 is our number. Also, what age do you feel conversations about drinking should start? And how much of this rests on the adults in a young person's life? Is modeling healthy behavior the best way to get the message across about drinking as a young person? Our phone lines are open. The number is, again, 1-800-996-2848. Which is also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go straight to our phone lines. We have Lucinda in Wambly, South Dakota, connecting to us on KILI. Lucinda, thank you for your call. And what would you like to tell Native America?
Well, growing up, I remember with the media, yeah, they went and idolized people who had drunk driving. They would make a big deal about it. Have pictures, you'd see it on the newspaper, and to me, I thought that was a bad thing to do, yet they were trying to promote the fact that, hey, okay, this person died because of drunk driving, but then again, they made him almost sound like a superstar on TV for it. I remember growing up, I used to live in Arizona, on one of the, I want to say it's Coolidge, we were driving by one time and there was this vehicle. This vehicle was totally mangled, smashed up, crushed. Windows were crushed in the whole 9 yards. So we happened to stop just to take a look and see why it was there. When we went there, inside this vehicle, each one of these family members had a story to tell about their child who died in this vehicle because of drunk driving. And I remember to this day, that car impacted me enough and my friend to say, my gosh, just to think that could happen just for one night of a prom party. And I think something that is a hard and major statement out to the public and say, look, this is what happens, helps wake them up.
All right, Lucinda, thank you for sharing there in Wambly, South Dakota. And I want to go to our guest for a response here on that. Let me bring them back in. From Portland, Oregon, we have Kanoy Eggleston, who is the Direct Services Manager for Youth Services at the Native American Youth and Family Center. And she is Native Hawaiian, also with us from Nome, Alaska, Espananga Pangawi. And she is a Wellness Director for the Kowarik Incorporated, and she is St. Lawrence Island Yupik from the village of Savunga. It's our pleasure to welcome them back. And Kanoy, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Lucinda just shared, you know, how, you know, some of the older tactics, as people call them, it actually worked. And as you hear from her story, it made her and her friends think. Kanoy, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you're not... You know, personally, if it worked for her, I mean, that's great, right? I mean, we're coming from it as whatever is going to work for that youth is what is going to work for them. And so I think, you know, you're not going to find the right tool or approach for every young person out there. With generations changing, with different experiences, with different, you know, lives that they've all come from, I think if that one approach worked for her, that's wonderful. I mean, but at the same time, you know, another approach might work great for another youth. And so I really go back to the concept of meeting the youth where they're at and really being able to say, you know, hey, let's try this one approach, let's try this approach, let's try this approach. I think it needs to be a very fluid and organic process that we have to be comfortable with in our community. And to say that for some, safe use might work and for others, abstinence might work. So in other words, how do maybe no drinking for others, and for others it might be, if you're going to drink, can we find a sober driver for you? Can you call Auntie who will come and pick you up and who will not shame you for that and will pick you up so you don't get in that car and drive off? And so having different forms and modalities is really what I think now that we're learning is going to work, right? Because like what you're saying is we just saw for some it didn't, for some it did with those messagings back in the 80s. So I would say moving forward, we need to really look at how we can have those variety of approaches and to say with one youth, this is going to work for them and for others, it won't.
All right. Thank you for that, Kanoy. Lucinda, thanks again for your call there in Wambly, South Dakota, connecting to us on Keeley Radio. Let's go now to North Dakota. We're going to bring in Robin, who is connecting to us in Spirit Lake, and the station she is listening to us is KABU. Robin, welcome to the hour.
Thank you. Yes, I'm coming in from KABU, the heartbeat of the Spirit Lake Nation.
All right.
And kind-hearted woman, that's my Indian name. And I feel that we need to also consider why our children are drinking, you know, or drugging, any kind of chemical addiction. What are they trying to escape from? You know, and try to, and if we're going to use the fear-based approach, then I always feel that we have to give them something else. You know, like, let's say if the drunk driving, you know, you can get into an accident if you drink, but, and it'll affect your grades and your relationships, things like that. And then, but also give them something else in replace of it. I always feel that if you're going to take something away, you have to replace it with something good, something positive, you know, activities for our youth, our children. They're so used to having something to do, whether it be Facebook or social media or something like that to fit in and stuff. And we have to create those places where they can have those connections.
All right, Robin, thank you for your call. And if there's anybody else who would like to comment on that, you know, what about connecting them to their community or giving them something positive in the place of why they're drinking? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Tell us how you feel about that. And Bananga, you know, it gets us to that question of, you know, why are our youth drinking? What do you think plays into that?
Thanks. Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about next. And so drinking is definitely a symptom. It's not the root of whatever issue is there. And so, like Robin, was that Robin or Lucinda? Robin, the last caller?
Mm-hmm.
Like she was saying, if you're going to, you know, take something away, you have to replace it with something. And I think if we don't replace whatever, you know, we are reducing, then the youth who are exhibiting symptoms of a deeper problem are going to replace it with something else themselves. And so our goal really, I mean, really, really isn't reducing underage drinking. Our goal should be reducing the cause of underage drinking ultimately. And so because drinking is a symptom, we need to go and find those deeper issues, the reason why youth are trying to be absent, the reason why youth are trying to cope, and really digging in to find out what pain youth are coping with. And what we found in our community is people have injury on many different levels. There are individual level injuries where youth have experienced harm in their lives, you know, by people around them, by either their peers or people who care for them, adults in their lives. And then also they experience harm that has been passed down through the generation, so intergenerational trauma, from historical trauma, colonization, that has influenced our youth, our communities. And you'll find that other First Nations people around the world exhibit the same symptoms in the same population. So young people have also exhibited the same symptoms in Indigenous populations worldwide. So we can really learn from each other about how youth have coped in the past and how other nations have kind of promoted healing and not just treated the symptom. I think it's important to treat symptoms too, don't get me wrong. I think because this is a multi-layered problem, we must have multi-layered solutions. And so rather than saying, we'll try this, and then we'll try this, we say, we're going to try these things all at the same time, because we know that people are complex and that youth are all drinking because of different reasons. And so while fear-based messaging might work for one person, statistically, for the other 99, or, you know, I don't know the statistics on that, but it's just not effective. And so taking things like policy change, because you were talking about access earlier, we actually did promote policy change locally. We have a softball league that has an adult league between the ages of 16 and up. And so, you know, when people are drinking at these softball games, youth are around that. And so what we did was we, our coalition wrote a letter to the softball league and asked that drinking not be allowed in the dugouts, because we found that that's where youth were accessing alcohol. And then they just made a rule that there was no drinking in the dugouts. And so it makes it so if you're drinking alcohol, you're out in the open, and so youth aren't sneaking it. So reducing access, yeah, that's effective.
In Pananga, you know, us as adults, our actions say a lot to young people. It's great to hear that too. And I got one more voice I want to add to the hour. We're going to go now to Zuni, New Mexico. We are bringing in Donna Lupi, and she is a health educator coordinator for the Teen Health Center, and she is Zuni. It's our pleasure to welcome her to the hour. Hello, Donna.
Hello.
And Donna, we're at a really great point. Thank you for joining us, talking about our actions. Do you think it's important what we do as adults, if we're going to be sending the message to our young people that they shouldn't drink or that they should remain healthy?
Mm. Yeah, I truly believe that our actions speak louder than our words. Our children You know, I always talk about how adults are role models. Even if we don't want to be role models, we still are role models because our youth population is forever looking at us, and they're watching us. They're watching every move that we make, especially when it comes to drinking. I think a lot of our young people drink because they basically have seen adults drinking. They've gone to their friend's home and they see their friend's parents drinking. You know, I think that's where we learn from the adults. So I think adults do have a really big impact on the youth population as far as drinking goes.
And Donna, what about when, you know, it's seen as rites of passage where, you know, well, they're young, they drink, that happens. Or even sometimes, you know, you're going to be a teenager and you better be able to handle your alcohol. I mean, those are conversations that people are having. It's what young people say. What about when it becomes that rites of passage?
Mm-hmm. It's sort of, you know, we do have rites of passage, some mornings here, for the boys, but we don't have one for the girls. But I think that, you know, if we look at our cultural identity, we can use our cultural identity as a strong source of health and well-being. But for adults, we need to encourage our children to learn about who they are, you know, and motivate our children to develop a strong cultural identity. Because when, you know, this goes in line with alcoholism or drug addictions, that when adults are using, what we're basically doing, we're encouraging and motivating our children to develop a identity that involves alcohol and drug use. But in my community, I strongly believe that we still have a very strong spirituality that involves daily prayer, and we encourage and motivate our children to participate. And I think that if we continue to encourage and motivate and participate with our children, I think our children will develop a strong spiritual and cultural identity. But I think that if our identity and our rite of passage is influenced by alcoholism, that's where I think our youth will be influenced by. You know, I just think that when we use the rite of passage, I think we're not understanding, where our children are not understanding, and they don't have the knowledge of what this rite of passage may mean to them. So I think it is up to us adults to try and send out the message what a positive rites of passage looks like, and also teach the meaning of a positive rites of passage.
All right. And Donna, I'm also wondering when it comes to, you know, how attitudes are formed or how a community feels, do things change when it's a smaller community, such as the one there in Zuni?
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, because we are a small community, you know, we and also because, you know, the community is pretty much, the community member is pretty much aware of what individuals are doing. I think we are influenced that way. I think the more we practice the negative, I think that's where our influence go. But I also see that, you know, in our community, there is a lot of positive activities going on. We have we have this strong a strong promotion of health and wellness. There are several programs that collaborate, and we work together to provide education and information, and we also provide a lot of activities that promote healthy lifestyles. So I think the more people see that there's a lot of people maybe exercising, or maybe there's a lot of people walking, I think that's, we influence others as well. So I think in a small community, there's a lot of influence, and it can go either way. It can be negative or positive.
All right. And if there are positive things happening in your community to keep kids away from drinking or drugs, and there's some photos, maybe you've recently had some things going on this summer that are giving youth a positive influence, you know, feel free to send them to us or post it on our Facebook. We can share those too. You can find us on Facebook at NativeAmericaCalling.com or tag us in a tweet. Our handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Donna, I got a caller I want to bring in. We're going to Kamiai, Idaho right now to bring in Tom, who is connecting to us today on KIYE. Tom, welcome to the hour.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I just appreciate this program and all that you guys are seeking to do to help the youth of America with drugs and alcohol problems. I was a counselor with a faith-based organization called Teen Challenge, which has been around for over 50 years, started by the late David Wilkerson. And Teen Challenge has centers in, I believe, all 50 states and in many countries, and is considered one of the most successful organizations with their programs to help youth be transformed and delivered from drugs and alcohol. Again, I say, as a nonprofit organization, and if you have a youth or someone's listening who has someone involved, whether they're a teenager or young adult, that is overwhelmed with drugs and alcohol in their life, it may take more than just encouragement of family members and community to get them off of that. They may need extra help. So I really recommend Teen Challenge, and that they're on the internet, and I forget the website right now, but if you just look up on Google Teen Challenge, you can find out what they're all about.
All right, Tom, thank you for that. And I think now is a really good time, too, to just give out any good resources that our guests feel, you know, are pertinent to also share with Native America. Kanoi, is there anything you'd like to some of these you want to give to our audience? Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I just to kind of, as we're wrapping up, I just want to be able to say just a couple comments that I've been listening here, that I think what moving forward in all of this and our continued work with our young people is that I think as Native people, it's really important that our children learn these positive coping skills in atmospheres, you know, that support our cultural values. So whether it be a community center, family, elders, peers, you know, positive coping skills can really be brought out through our teachings and through our core values. And so I just wanted to kind of share that piece and to also, in thinking about moving forward, how can we utilize other young people that are doing healthy things, right, and that are leading healthy lives, and really connecting with those youth, because young people listen and are influenced a lot by other young people. And so I don't, those are kind of little things as hearing the conversation I wanted to share. And just we also have just other resources for those that are in urban settings. We at NAIA, it's www.naiapdx.org, have just a plethora of information on our website as well that can be utilized in our work with youth, as well as our work around the relational worldview model, and how looking through a holistic lens can really be a great tool and asset for our community.
All right. Thank you, Kanoi. And Donna, are there any numbers that you'd like to share in case somebody wants to connect with the Zuni Teen Health Center?
Yes. You can reach us at
area code 505-782-5719, or either you can come by our teen health office, which is on Twin Buttes Road in Zuni.
Okay, sounds good. And Donna, make sure you say hi to everybody there at the health center for us. Big shout out to them. And Bananga, any references you want to leave us with?
You know, just the website that I listed earlier, the bualaska.org, and then just Googling the My Choice, My Future, just examples of how you can promote positive messages within the youth, and then just realizing just an agreement that a strong cultural identity is the best protective factor for, you know, suicide and other statistics. And we're realizing this more and more. And so whatever we can do to promote a really strong and healthy cultural identity, that's our best defense.
Okay, thank you for that. And also great to hear, too, that some of that's being echoed there in Zuni. And we know that also in our different tribal nations, a lot of people are turning to culture and tradition. And those are two topics that we consistently cover here on our program. And if there is more on culture and tradition, keeping our young people healthy, that you'd like to talk about, please do reach out to us. You can also comment directly on our website. And we have reached the end of the hour today. And I'd like to thank all of our guests and folks who called in, too, for sharing their thoughts with us today. And tomorrow we have a special pre-recorded show for you art lovers. We'll be jumping into the pages of several art books to learn more about a few Native artists and what made them focus on their artistic ability. Check out our website, NativeAmericaCalling.com, and you can also see images that we're going to be discussing on tomorrow's program. Monica Brain is our senior producer. Our associate producer is Andy Murphy. And Stephen Emmons is our engineer. Kavi Movahead screened your calls today. And Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood. And I'm going to wish us a belated happy birthday. Native America Calling turned 20 this year. So happy birthday to us. Have a great rest of your day.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. For 45 years, NARF has stood firm for justice in Indian country on critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at NARF.org and join the fight for Native rights.
This is Native American comedian Mitch Factor. Nothing's funny about not having health insurance. Juggling a career as a comedian and being a parent is one thing. Trying to do it without health insurance is another. I needed health coverage for myself and family. I went online and signed up. Woo! It was easy. Isn't it time to get the peace of mind you deserve? Visit healthcare.gov/tribal or call 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services. After all, laughter is almost the best medicine.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kowanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.